and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples.
What question? Pharisees, were they the leaders of the church at the time?
Similar, yeah. That's
like
a good question.
The Hebrew
kind of church, the Jewish church. They were kind of the leaders, that kind of people. That they. Yeah, that's good. We're going to come to that. I was going to fill you in because I figured that might be something people didn't know.
Fill me in. You're going to wrap me out or what?
No, that's it. Not filling you in that way. Let's pick it up, verse 30. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but those who are ill. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." I want to give our attention this morning to two words. There are two words of the Lord Jesus that we read in this story. This is what I want to spend our time very simply this morning looking at. And here they are. The two words, you find them in verse 27. It's very simply, follow me. Two words, follow me. Now they are words in this story that Jesus addresses to this man Levi. It's a very deliberate story. Just follow it with me. Jesus goes out. It's a new day. He goes out very deliberately and he finds this man Levi exactly where he is in life. So he's busy in his job. He's a tax collector. He's sitting at his tax booth. And Jesus goes out deliberately, finds this individual, and he says to him these two words, follow me. And Levi responds in the most dramatic of ways, doesn't he? Look at the story, verse 28. Levi got up, he left everything, and he follows Jesus. Two words, follow me. Now the reason I want to spend our time this morning thinking about these two words of Jesus together, follow me, are because actually I want to show you today that these are two words that the risen Lord Jesus is still saying to people today. He is still sort of going out, as it were, finding individuals where they are in life, whatever their background, whatever their lifestyle, and we'll see that because of Levi, and he's saying to people, follow me. That's what he's saying. These are those two words. Now, actually, I stand here this morning as someone who vouches for that to be true, because I stand before you as someone who's had Jesus say, follow me. Now, it may not be a mystical experience. It may not be you actually hear him say these things. But through his own powerful ways, through the preaching of his gospel, through a friend coming to you and telling you about the Lord Jesus, we are hearing Jesus say these words, follow me, just as he did to Levi. A large number of us in this room sit here this morning as followers of Jesus. Those who are saying, well, yeah, look, he said to me, follow me, and that's now what I'm doing. I've had a change, an orientation of life that says I'm now following Jesus. That's what it means to be a follower. And who is he saying this to? Hang on a second, Pete. Who is he saying this to? He's saying it not to the well-behaved, not to the churchy types, but he's saying it to men like Levi. Now, we may lose the impact of this. We're going to think about this in a minute. But he's saying it to men like Levi, the sort of person that we might turn our head and look at if they walk through the door. The sort of person we might try and avoid in life normally. Because that's who Levi was. Sometimes we have a real hang-up about the sort of people who Jesus kind of would speak to. But here he is, a broken man. Actually, he was probably fairly comfortable, but he was a social outcast. He was frowned on. He was lumped into a group with people that we would not want to associate with. And it's to him that he says these words, follow me. And that is this morning why I want to give our attention to these two words, follow me. Because for some of us here this morning, this will be an occasion, an opportunity to understand perhaps for the first time what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Maybe you've got a view of what it means to be a Christian. Well-behaved, kind of, you know, socially polite, does good things for other people. That's not what it means to be a Christian. To be a Christian means to be someone who's following Jesus. That's what it means. Whatever your background, whoever you are, follow me. And for some of you this morning, it will be a chance to understand for the first time, perhaps, what Jesus means when he says, follow me. And maybe this morning it could be a chance for you to do that, to start following Jesus. For some of us here this morning who are following Jesus, think of it this morning a bit like an MOT. Okay, if you've got a car, you have to take it in for an MOT. It gets checked out, it gets fixed up. This morning, if you're following Jesus, put yourself in for an MOT. Are you following him? Are you doing a Levite? And we're going to have a look at what that means, grounding what it means this morning to be a follower of Jesus. And so let's look at the story, Levi and this calling here. And I want to show you that when Jesus says, follow me, he really means three things. Okay, three words. Boys and girls, I want you to learn these with me this morning. Okay, here they are. The first word is turn. The second word is follow. And the third word is mingle. So can you say this with me? Ready? Number one, turn. Number two, follow. Number three, mingle. Okay, three things that it means to follow Jesus. The first is this, turn. Now, I don't know if you've ever had the experience, and don't worry if you haven't because you've never missed out, of driving with a sat-nav. I remember once sometimes you don't. I'm always suspicious of a sat-nav. I don't know about you, but I remember when we first moved to London, Emma really isn't a big fan of driving in London. She wouldn't mind me saying that. So I thought, well, as a gift, you know, I kind of saved up my pennies and I bought her a sat-nav thinking, well, this will help her to get around. But we took this thing on holiday, and you're very suspicious of these things. And as a man, particularly, you're very arrogant, thinking, I know the way. Now, I remember being on holiday once, and we were driving with a sat-nav.
A bit like reading the instructions where you get a new washer.
Yeah, that's it, and you never read them. You're not going to read them. And you don't want to listen to the sat-nav, but you're heading in one direction on holiday. And I remember this occasion where, you know, you can miss a turn and it says you've missed your turning, and then it does a bit of recalculating, and eventually it kind of recalculates and you think, no, I'm definitely heading in the right direction. And eventually you get to this point where the sat-nav, all it can say to you is turn around, turn around. You've gone in the wrong way. There's no shortcuts. There's no kind of getting back from here. You've got to simply turn around. Now, as Jesus says to Levi, follow me, it is first and foremost a call for Levi to U-turn. He's got to that point on the sat-nav where it can't say anything else to him other than turn around. You've got to head in another direction. So just look at verse 28. You see what happens? Levi gets up and he leaves everything. This is a dramatic picture of what it means to turn. Jesus comes to him, says, follow me. Levi literally has to get up and leave what he's doing. It's a picture for us of turning. Now look at how Jesus describes this in his own words. He's describing what he's just done with Levi in verse 32. You'll see it here. Jesus says, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That word repentance is kind of a churchy word, isn't it? We don't use it in many other contexts. But do you know what it means? It literally means to turn. That is what the word means. It means to turn. And it's not just a kind of a physical thing. It is a turning of the mind. It is a change of thinking. It is the turning of a way of life. That is what he's talking about. And here is what Jesus, when he says to people like you and me today, follow me, he wants us to turn from. He wants us not to turn from our jobs necessarily, but to turn from a way of life. It is a way of life that is marked by living without God. By choosing to set out in life and say, I want nothing to do with God. I want everything that God gives me. I want the life, the breath, the world that we live in. I want everything he gives, but I want nothing to do with him. That is a lifestyle that has itself worked out in all sorts of ways, and it's seen in all sorts of ways. But we are heading in that direction by nature. And I don't have to work too hard with you to prove that's true. But that is where we're heading, and that is the direction that we are to turn from. A way of life that leaves God out. Let me fill you in a bit about Levi. So as a tax collector, Levi lived a life of cheating others. He was a robber at the end of the day. You know, in today's society, we may think the same about the tax man, but actually it's a fairly respectable job today. If you work for Her Majesty's government collecting taxes, you're not frowned on. You know, you may be spat at by people, but, you know, like you know, we may have a problem.
You have a clear conscience when you're a taxman.
Well, but it's not standard in the same way. Now, let me explain why, okay?
They're accountants with criminal tendencies.
Well, maybe. But in this day, in this story, Levi actually was a robber. So he actually took more money than he was supposed to. That's the way it worked. And so this guy, Levi, in his society, was frowned on by people. Actually, he was lumped together socially. If you read some other materials, he was lumped together socially with the prostitutes, the adulterers, the robbers. He was frowned on by people. He was socially kind of an outcast. People avoided him because of the life that he lived. Now, we lose something of the impact, I think, of this. But there's something pretty impressive, pretty amazing about Jesus going out to this man, Levi, and saying to him, "Follow me." You see, he's not a man that you would have expected to walk into a church. He's not a man you would have expected to see following Jesus. And yet it is to this man that Jesus goes and says, "Follow me." And you see, because of how he behaved, because of his life being marked by a certain kind of behavior of robbing others, standing on others, cheating others, by the religious of his day, he was given this label, sinner. Now, you see, we use that in all sorts of ways, don't we? But it was a label he was given. Now, literally, that word sinner means to be stained by a certain type of behavior. So Levi, if you knew him, his life would have been marked by a certain way of treating others. Getting money to feather his own nest and walking all over the poor and people he didn't care about. And he got this label sinner from the religious. Now that word literally, like I say, captures a person marked by a particular behaviour. And we love to give that label to people today.
Did he follow?
Well, we'll find out in a minute. Do we love to give that label to people today, to ourselves? No, we never love to give it to ourselves, do we? We don't want to give that label to ourselves. We always give it to others. So there are people all around us in society that we attach this label sinners to, marked by certain behaviours. So, you know, maybe we sit here and we say, "Oh, you know what, let's give the label to the paedophiles, let's give the label to the rapists, the murderers," because these are the ones that we think, oh, you know, we couldn't possibly have any dealings with them because of who they are, because that's the label we give them, sinners. But the thing that's shocking about this story is, do you know who Jesus gives that label to? It's not just to the Levites, but it's to all of us. Why? Because we have all lived a life turned in the direction of living without God. So our behaviour may not be as bad as it could be, but all of us have got the seeds of it in us because we're living turned in the wrong direction. We're turned away from God. We choose to live life without God, and we are turned the wrong way. Just like Levi in this story.
Isn't that being human?
Yeah. Exactly. And so if you were with us a few weeks ago, you remember that we saw there was two sons of God, the son of Adam and the son of God, the Lord Jesus. And actually, we're born into the line of Adam, the family of Adam, and Adam's family. We are inherently, when we are born, turned away from God. That's the whole point.
And incest.
What's that?
Incest.
I'm not sure that's got anything to do with it.
Adam and Eve.
Well, maybe.
Born after him.
Yeah.
Incestuous.
We can talk about that later, Pete. We can talk about that one. But the point is, though, you see, we're turned. We are inherently, by birth, born into a family turned away from God. We're living in that direction. And maybe, you know, maybe we're here this morning and we have got lives that have been stained by certain types of behaviour. Maybe we've done things that mean others look at us a bit awkwardly socially. Maybe we've done things in life that mean we feel really uncomfortable about the first time we ever walked into a church building. Maybe that is true. Maybe we can relate to Levi a little bit more. But actually, whether you have got a life stained by certain types of behaviour or not, the fact of this label being a sinner is true of all of us because we have all, because of the family we're born into, because of being human, have lived lives turned away from God. And that is what Jesus wants us to turn from. A life inherently turned away from God that leaves him out. But it's to people, you see, it's people like Levi People that we might avoid, people that you know, most people would think would never walk through the doors of a church, that Jesus comes and he says, follow me. Turn. Turn from this way of living. Turn from a life that leaves God out and turn to something new. Jesus comes to Levi right in the middle of where he is in life. You see, Levi wasn't going looking for Jesus on that day. Do you see that in the story? It's not that he suddenly had this urge to kind of, oh, you know, I feel like I've done something wrong and I need to put it right. No, Jesus came and found him right where he was in his workplace. And he looked at him in the face and he said, follow me. Turn. Turn from the life you're living. Turn from leaving God out of the story and turn to me. Levi quickly then becomes a picture for us, doesn't it, of what it means to follow. This one who gets up and leaves everything. Can I tell you something this morning? Look at verse 31, because Jesus speaks about his own actions with Levi, and he says this, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but those who are ill. So you don't get up in the morning if you're feeling all right and call a doctor, do you? You only get up and call a doctor if you know you're not feeling right. And Jesus is saying, look, the only reason that you'll see Jesus has any worth is if you see there's a problem with the way that you're living. If you see there's a problem with being turned away from God, if you understand that that's a bad place to be, it's a dangerous path to be walking down, then, and only then, will you think, oh yes, I need the help of the doctor, I need the help of Jesus. See, verse 31 and 32, look again at verse 32, he says, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Jesus is not saying that there are righteous people on earth, actually. I think he's using it sarcastically. He's saying, I haven't come for people who think they're sorted, who think they have no problem. I've come for people who understand that they have an issue, that they are turned in the wrong direction, that they're turned away from God. And Jesus says, I've come for them. I've come for them to say to them, turn, follow me. And so let me ask you this morning, if you're here, And haven't yet turned to the Lord Jesus, is this something that just even a niggle connects with you? That there is something not right about the way of life that we are living? A life without God, a life disloyal to him. Is there something that makes you think, do you know what, I might be sick and need a doctor? Because if you're here this morning and you don't feel that, then you are like the righteous who think you're okay. But when Jesus says, follow me, which he is addressing to every one of us here today, do you know what? He's actually saying to you, you've got a problem and turn. And you can either believe him or you not believe him. Jesus says, follow me. And if you've turned here today, and lots of us have, then the challenge that I was thinking about a bit this week is, do we still play with what's behind us? Turning's very deliberate, isn't it? Levi had a life, a way of doing things. And if you've turned, well, are you still playing with your old life? Are you still playing with a life that leaves God out? Levi's turning was very dramatic, wasn't he? He got up, he left everything, and he followed Jesus. If you want to follow Jesus, very simply, it means, first of all, you turn from a way of life that leaves him out. That's thing number one. So the first word, what's the second word? Boys and girls, remember?
Follow.
Yeah. Follow. Very good. So I know that sounds obvious. To follow Jesus means to follow. But I want to unpack. This is a central piece of what it means to follow Jesus when he says, follow me. Okay, so first of all, turn. We've got to turn from an old way of life. And we've got to now follow Jesus. My little Levi, so not the Levi of this story, but my little Levi, he loves sweets. I'm sure most kids can relate to that. But sometimes on my day off on a Wednesday, that's the day I try and take as a day off, we go out and, you know, he asks, oh, Daddy, can I have a bag of sweets or whatever he says. And so I've got this bag of sweets in my hand and we're going up to the till. But it's, I don't know, Wilkinson's in Edmonton Green is the worst for this. It's got these shelves like leading up, you know, got this like 400 metre aisle going up to the tills. Doesn't matter if there's no one in the queue. And all the way along are things that he wants and he wants to pick up and he wants to grab. And so I spend my entire time going down this aisle. Levi, don't touch that. Levi, stop with that one. Come over here like this. Now, how do I pull him away from the things on those shelves?
I've got an idea.
What's that?
What we used to do. You get two kids, and you get one of them to split the sweets
I don't want him to get any more. So here's what I do. Let me tell you what I do, okay? To stop him touching the things on the shelf, I remind him what I've got in my hand. The better thing that he wants.
It's
the sweets that he's picked, the sweets that are his, the ones we're going to buy. And I say to him, Levi, it's okay, you don't need that because you've got this here. And suddenly his eyes start to look at these ones and he's able to leave the ones on the shelf behind. You get that? That's what he's like. Now, here's the thing. When the Lord Jesus says, follow me, he's not just saying to you, stop it, you naughty group of people. Don't touch that stuff. That's naughty. And then he walks away. That's not what Jesus is saying. It's not that he leaves it at turn. Instead, he puts something much better in its place. Something that you want. Something that is that makes it no problem to leave behind the other things. What does he put in its place? Himself. You see, I know this is kind of basic stuff. But he says, follow me. First of all, he means turn. Yes, there's a way of life that we need to leave behind. But in its place, he puts himself. He puts something much better, much more valuable, much more fulfilling. And that is Jesus himself. And that's what happens to Levi. You see, look at verse 28. It's just the story, but you'll see it working out. He got up. He left everything. And what does he do? He followed him. There's a sense of he got up and he kind of took hold of Jesus and said, I'm going with you. And in the very next verse, Levi puts on this huge party for Jesus. And you've got this amazing picture of Jesus sitting and eating with this man Levi. Now, it's still true today, but if you sit and eat at someone's table, it's a sign of welcome. It's a sign of acceptance. It's a sign of friendship. You know, to sit and eat with someone is a big deal because it's a welcome. And here is Levi, a man most unwelcome in most people's circles. And Jesus sits and he eats with him. And he says, friend. That is what Levi gets in its place. A life that is heading the wrong way, that leaves God out, that deserves everything that it gets from God. And suddenly he's turned and he's not tempted by that stuff anymore. Why? Because he's got something hugely better in its place. He's got a welcome from the Lord Jesus. Levi has got up. He has left his old way of life. Not to have some boring life of following rules, but to have the joy of a friendship with Jesus. A welcome from God. He gets up and he follows the one who is going to be his companion on the journey. He's called to follow a new road, and now he's on a companion. Think of the picture following. We hear these words, but imagine physically you doing this. What is it? Well, you're with someone. You're a companion of someone. And importantly, do you know what that Levi has done here? He's got up to follow the one. And where is Jesus heading in the Gospels? He's heading to the cross, isn't he? So when it says that he got up to follow him, he's following the Lord Jesus on the road to the cross. To the place where Jesus will be crucified in place of Levi. To forgive Levi for this way of life that he's lived, turned in the opposite direction. That's the one he's following. And as a result, he's following the one in whom there's a welcome, there's a companion, there's a leader to follow. There is work to be done. There is the joy of knowing forgiveness. You see, this, friends, and particularly if you're here and you're following, this is what you get when you leave behind what is old. It's not that Jesus just says, stop it and stop your naughtiness. Stop doing all those bad things that you've been doing. Stop leaving God out. That's not just what Jesus says. He says, follow me. Take hold of me. That's what he's saying to us. And the joy of that is immense. We now have someone to follow, to take a lead from, to listen to know the joy of friendship with that doesn't just last now, but lasts forever. That is what we're called to do, to follow him. And it's not kind of pie in the sky stuff. This is real stuff. Jesus, there is so much wisdom about life and about how to do things here. Are we listening to Jesus? Are we following his lead? Do you know the joy of a welcome from Jesus? Your sins forgiven. Are you following his lead this morning? Are you listening to him? You know, some of us, we give credit saying, yeah, I'm a follower of Jesus, but you never listen to him. You never find out what he's saying. You never kind of use his words to guide your life. You know, we all follow someone, and you can tell that by the way we dress, by the music we listen to. We all follow someone. We all follow something. But Jesus is saying, look, follow me. Listen to me. Take my lead. Put me back in my right place. And that's what he means when he says follow me. He's not just saying turn from something old. Yeah, God. The one who has authority over us to say what goes, to say the way life works. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And yet we choose to not listen. Just like we do with the instruction manual you're talking about. Man, we get it out of the box and we say, I'm going to work this out. Whereas actually the better way is to listen to the instructions. To listen to the Maker's instructions. And Jesus, the Son of God, comes and says, follow me. Where we've ignored him, he welcomes us back. And he says, listen to me. I'll tell you how to do life. I'll tell you how to do your friendships. I'll tell you how to do your marriages. I'll tell you how to do your friendships. I'll tell you how to raise your kids. I'll tell you stuff because that's what Jesus does. He's our Maker. He is God. And he says, follow me. That's what he's saying. Follow me. So, two words. What are the first two words? Boys and girls, say them with me. First of all, to follow means? And then it means to?
Follow.
And the third one, which may be a bit weird, but he says mingle. Now, what do I mean? Well, this word mingle, apart from being a chocolate, I think, that somebody bought out at some point. But it's literally means to associate or to take part with others. That's what this word mingle means. Associate and take part with others. When I used to have a proper job, not the one I'm doing now, but when I, you know, when I was out and I had this job doing electrical engineering, my boss used to take me to exhibitions sometimes, and I used to go. And I remember once standing there, I was
wearing
a suit at this point. And I was wearing a suit because I had to. I got told to. And there I was 19 years old, and I got taken to this exhibition. I remember it really clearly. I was like sweating, not just because I was wearing a suit and it was hot, but I was sweating because I was nervous. And my boss said to me, "Okay, Nathan, go mingle." I'm like, what does that mean? what does it mean to mingle? And he said, well, you know, go talk to people. Go spend time with people at this exhibition. Go and sell the company. Go and tell them what we do. Go and get some business. That's
spread
what he used to say. Spread the word. Yeah, that's what he was saying. Kind of go mingle with people. That was what I was told to do. So that's exactly what I did. I went out and I mingled with people. That's mingling. Now, when Jesus says, follow me, yes, he means turn from this old way of life that leaves him out. Yes, he means follow, but he also means mingle. Mix in with people. You see, who does he want us to mix with? Well, he wants us to mix with people who need Jesus as badly as we do. That's who he wants us to mix with. And how do I know that's true? Well, look at what happens with Levi. Can you look at verse 29? Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house. And a large number of tax collectors, remember they're frowned upon, these people who wouldn't expect to see in church, you know, not the kind of religious type, and others were eating with them. Levi, out of the joy of finding Jesus, you know, so bear in mind, there must be joy here. Because if he was just grumpy about, oh, Jesus has told me to stop being a tax collector, then he'd be a right grump, wouldn't he? But no, he's found something good, and so he holds a great big party for Jesus. And who does he invite along to this party? All his mates. All the guys that he used to hang around with. All his tax collector friends. All their associated friends. They're the people that he invites along to this party. And who else is at this party? Look down. Who else is at this party? Have a look in your Bible. Who is there? The Pharisees, well, they may not have been there, actually. This is a bit of a conundrum. They might have been there, or they might have been outside, kind of just spying at grumpy Jesus.
Didn't have a tie.
Yeah, they didn't have a tie, couldn't get in. Who's at this party? Jesse. Sinners are at the party. Yeah, so that's this label we like to give to people, the bad. Isaac?
Tax
collectors are there, so these kind of robbers, all these people we don't want to hang around with?
Jesus
is there. He's at the party. And who else is there? Who's with Jesus? Levi's there, but who else is there? Come on, have a look at the verse. Have a look at the verses. The disciples. Jesus and his disciples are at this party full of people that you would never have dreamed of hanging around with. If you were a religious type, how dare you hang out with these types of people? What were Jesus and Levi and the disciples doing? Mingling. They were mingling with people who badly needed to be connected up to Jesus. Who needed to turn from a way of life to turn to something new. That is who they were mingling with. Do you see that? Levi holds a great party for all his friends to say, I have met this guy Jesus. He said to me, follow me. He said to me, turn from your way of life. Come to me and follow me. And I want you to meet Jesus. That's what he's doing. Follow. Follow me means to mingle. You see, there's a danger. Okay? There is a danger for us this morning if we are followers of Jesus. And the danger is that we become separate from people. We think, oh, you know, I've got a new way now. And we separate ourselves from the world. And that's the danger that these Pharisees and these teachers of the law had. Look at verse 30. They start grumbling. Jesus, what are you doing hanging out with those type of people? Jesus, what are you doing at that party? Don't you know these are bad people? Don't you know that their lives are stained with certain types of behavior that isn't right? And Jesus says, yes, I do. But that is why I've come. You see, look at verse 31 and 32 again. He says, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but it is those who are ill. It, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He's hanging around with these people because these are the people he's come to say, follow me to. To take people out of broken lives, to take people out of lives that are turned away from God, to take people whose lives are marked by certain types of behavior. And he's saying to them, follow me. Follow me. And so if you find yourselves, particularly if you've been hanging around church a while, if you find yourselves even slightly thinking what the Pharisees thinking in verse 30, then you've got to pull yourself up. And you've got to say to yourself, do you know what? I might be out of tune with Jesus. If there are people that you frown on and you wouldn't want to walk through this door, then be careful because we might be out of tune with Jesus. Because Jesus came for this label sinners, people that other people might not mix with. Because he came to say to them, follow me, turn, follow, and then mingle. Listen, our time's nearly gone, but can I finish by just helping us to think very quickly what it might look like for us if we take this seriously, to take mingling seriously. First of all, it might mean for some of us that we end up in situations where we feel a little bit uncomfortable. You may end up hanging around with people that make you feel a little bit awkward. That's the reality of this. If you take this seriously, you may find yourself at points thinking, oh, I'm not sure I want to be hanging around with these people very much. But actually, Jesus says, go mingle. Go mingle. Why? Not so that you can copy their behavior, but so that you can bring them to Jesus. So that you can, like Levi did, bring your friends to say, look, I found someone who has helped me. So be prepared. Be prepared to feel awkward. That's the first thing. Second thing to say is that actually we should expect that we might be frowned on by others. Because the Pharisees here, they frowned on Jesus and his disciples. But actually, that doesn't mean we're doing something wrong just because someone frowns on us. They can frown on us if we're behaving wrongly. That's the right thing to frown about. But if we are mingling with people in order to connect them with Jesus, that's a good thing. And then finally, can I just say to you, if you are here and you've become a follower of Jesus, then Jesus doesn't want to change who you are. He doesn't want to turn you into some kind of person you're not. He wants you to be who you are, where you are, with your family, with your friends, and to connect them to Jesus. Yes, he wants us to turn from a life that leaves him out. That will mean turning from behaviours that are wrong. But he wants you, he's put you amongst your family, amongst your friends, amongst your work colleagues, so that you do a Levi and you connect your friends to Jesus. That's what he wants us to do. So three things. When Jesus says, follow me, boys and girls, can you help me do it here? Boys and girls, he says, turn,
follow, and mingle.
Great. That's what Jesus means when he says, follow me. And I also simply want to finish by saying, is Jesus saying to you this morning, follow me? Is that what Jesus is saying? Because he does today. He still says to people, follow me. He means turn, he means follow, and he means mingle. Let's bow our heads and let's pray together.